iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobalNews.com.
iGlobal Radio, brought to you by iGlobalNews.com.
Hello and welcome to the iMoney Show right here on iGlobal Radio. My name's Tony Patty and today we're joined by Avnish Goyal. Avnish is a very, very special gentleman because he's had a very special journey. And today we're going to be finding out all about Avnish and all about being a serial entrepreneur. Avnish Goyal and his desire to make a difference, which is what this discussion today is all about. And how did he help to create many of his achievements? He was raised by parents Santosh and Hemraj, who instilled in him a strong set of values of industry, integrity and ingenuity, which have set him in good stead for building one of the most respected companies in local care in the UK, Hallmark Care Homes. And he's also won, and his team have won, many awards and accolades as well. More recently, he decided to diversify into building and operating retirement villages under the brand of Santhem Residences. The care homes and care villages are being built through the construction arm of Savista Development, which he also set up in 2018 to manage the expansion. Avnish's vision is to transform the social care sector for older people and to make a difference in a world where everyone has the same opportunities, irrespective of the gender, class, race, sexual orientation, and other things as well. Avnish is a recognized speaker on topics such as entrepreneurship, personal development, and building culture and performance in the workplace. So with such a stellar background and fantastic experience, it's only right that we should invite him here on the show with us today to talk about entrepreneurship and the great things that Avnish has done. Avnish, a very warm welcome to you and thank you for joining us today right here on iGlobal Radio.
Tony, thank you for having me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much indeed. So tell us a little bit about your background. You studied, grew up in the UK and then suddenly you decided to go into care homes. It's quite a staggering move on your part and a huge, huge journey and a good one, may I add.
Yeah, no, thank you for that. My journey is probably very typical of the Asian community and immigrants coming in the 70s. So we came to the UK when I was 4 years old in 1970. The first 7 years were kind of tough. We lived in Basildon in a council estate. And it was 1977 when my brother and my dad bought the first shop in Romford. So it was a very stereotypical kind of upbringing and path to success through the corner shop. And that's where I think I got grounded in some of the ideas and the things that obviously I've now put to good use in terms of, you know, starting paper rounds at the age of 11 and working in the shop and all the things that you pick up around the dinner table. And obviously when you're working, you know, all the ideas and the things that really then start to bear fruit later in life. So yeah, that's kind of the early upbringing. And then my mum wanted me to be a doctor. Again, quite stereotypical. I didn't get in. Didn't quite make the grade. I took a year out, worked in the family business, and then I went off to qualify. So I went to university, to Newcastle of all places, which I loved. Got my degree in accounting and finance. Then I went off to Coopers & Lybrand, as it was then, qualified as a chartered accountant. Then started to hate it because we were in the early 90s and were going through a recession. And so I decided to want to do something different. And I really didn't want to be a historian because when you're an accountant, you're looking, as an auditor, you're looking backwards. And I didn't want to look backwards and I wanted to look forwards. I wanted to create something and make a difference. So I decided that I was going to try to find something that would make a difference. I then you know, had an idea that we could expand our property portfolio. And so I spoke to my family, who initially were dead against it. They were like, but you're a chartered accountant, you've got a great job. What are you going to do here? And I said, I'm going to come in. We're going to expand our property portfolio. And I could see a vision. I'm not sure they could at that time. And I supported the property expansion for about 6-7 years, and we grew to about just over 100 properties.
Wow!
In that time, and then I was getting bored of that. I wanted to make a bigger impact because it was becoming easy buying properties, letting them. We became really good at it, I decided to go into the care home business, and we bought our first care home in 1997, which is nearly 25 years ago now. And another look back since, it's a very heavily regulated industry, and it's a baptism of fire when you first get in, and the regulations have got higher and higher over the years. But from our perspective now, we operate way above the minimum standards and regulations, because we're now wanting to operate and deliver really high quality care to older people, make a huge difference to our teams. We've got over 2,000 team members now, well over 1,000 residents living in our 19 care homes, and we're building a number of care homes, and we've got more in the pipeline as well.
Fantastic. What a great grounding you've had, and an incredible journey. So I suppose business and entrepreneurship was kind of like something you not only inherited, but you sort of like grew into it as well, which is fantastic. We are talking to Avnish Goyal, who is an entrepreneur, runs many successful care homes, and has got a thorough and fantastic background in business.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal Radio is the brand new hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. News, views, interviews, wellness, money matters, and much, much more. Tune in to iGlobal Radio at iGlobalNews.com. Avnish, if I said to you, entrepreneurship is the activity of setting up a business or businesses, taking care of financial risks in the hope of profit, what is it that you've learned from being an entrepreneur, and what people can take away some learning from you today in our discussion?
Yeah, I think entrepreneurship is having an idea and then bringing that idea to fruition. It's providing a service or product to the public that you can monetize. And really, from my perspective, my definition is make a difference,
yeah,
and enjoy the journey and enjoy the fruits of your labor. That's entrepreneurship, and be flexible and have to change your approach right the way throughout. In entrepreneurship, you have the idea. You have often no idea how you're going to execute the idea, but you just got to believe in yourself, which I did when I look back. When I decided I was going to leave accountancy and start buying properties and renting them out, there was no going back. I didn't ever doubt that I could do it. And you learn along the way. You know, I call it throwing a hat over the wall. Basically, once you've done that, you have to go and get it. And that's what I've done in the businesses that I've set up or helped set up, is you just keep going and you eventually get success. There'll be many setbacks. There are things that you never knew that you wished you'd known at the beginning,
yeah,
and so on. But that's just part of being an entrepreneur.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, the key thing that I see is it's not just about what you achieve in terms of the material success or the outside stuff. It's who you become in the process. That's key, I think, in entrepreneurship. And often people can forget that in that journey. They can not take the family with them, their own health and the community around them. I think it's so, so important. Often entrepreneurs lose all of those things, their health, the community, their family, in the pursuit of one thing they call success, but they lose all the other things. So really, really important that entrepreneurship, people have that whole holistic view about what success is.
That's really interesting. So we've talked about the concept of entrepreneurship. We've talked about the meaning of being an entrepreneur. Here today, I'm going to try and get some information from you today on the types of entrepreneurship there is. Small business, scalable startups, large company entrepreneurship, and social entrepreneurship, which I'm sure you've had an experience of all of these things in time. We are talking to Avnish Goyal, who is an entrepreneur, runs many care homes, and very successful businessman. iGlobal is one-of-a-kind multimedia platform for all things global Indian, from the latest community news to the big political interviews, from entertainment and fashion to personal wealth and wellness. iGlobal is where the vibrant Indian diaspora gets seen and heard. Log on at iGlobalNews.com. So, Nish, I'd like to ask you then, in terms of the different types of entrepreneurship, it's not all about just going out investing, making money, setting up care homes and having a property portfolio. There's a little bit more to that, to being an entrepreneur. If I were to classify entrepreneurship into, say, four categories: small business entrepreneurship, scalable startup entrepreneurship, large company entrepreneurship, and social entrepreneurship, of which I know you encapsulate all four of these, what would you say to me?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I think nobody sets out to be a large company entrepreneur. I think if you think about most companies, they start from somewhere rather small. So, you know, if you look at, you know, Apple, Amazon, you know, and so on and so forth, even Richard Branson and Virgin, most of these businesses start in the garage or in the back room or wherever. You know, my business started off in a bedroom. I had a desk in a bedroom and I was running my property business from there. So that's the key thing, is that businesses, you start small and then you start working out how you can scale up that business.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting that when we talk about entrepreneurship, people think, oh, I'm going to become an entrepreneur, I'm going to become a multi-millionaire overnight. It's not that easy, is it? Were there ever times when you felt, good grief, what am I doing here? I've got so much investment here. Financial markets are up and down. We went through the Thatcher government. We went through many closures of financial institutions closing down. The pound against the dollar and various other things were going up and down all over the place, ludicrously. Then we've just been through the COVID pandemic as well, and still going through it, may I add. So that's had a large impact on businesses as a whole, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think some people might do. I didn't set out to be an entrepreneur. I wasn't working in accounting and thought, all right, time to be an entrepreneur. It was time to execute an idea and do something different. And it's only, to be honest with you, many years down the line that people started calling me an entrepreneur. I never ever said that I'm an entrepreneur. Other people know, you know, you're an entrepreneur. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll be an entrepreneur then, you know.
Yes.
I don't think entrepreneurs, they're called entrepreneurs by other people, but they don't sort of think I'm going to be an entrepreneur.
Self-proclaimed, they're not self-proclaimed, are they? No.
Some might be, but that's definitely not in my case. I think you just have a great idea, and then you think, how can I execute the idea? How can I make a difference? How can I monetize it? How can I make money out of it? And then, you know, and that business then starts to grow. You then get the growing pains. You get, you know, you're on your own first, then you think, I can't do this by myself. I need a PA or I need someone to help me. And then you work out, how am I going to manage that person? Then I need some premises. You know, then I need a car. I need equipment. I need, you know, and it scales from there. And each time you scale up, you get the pains of that next level of scaling. And some people stay small because they believe that they can't employ people or that things will go wrong and so on. Then you get people who stay in small businesses, and that's fine as well. And then there's people who start thinking bigger and bigger, and then they grow the business and they work out how to scale it and go through all those pains, and those pains continue at each level. And then what happens also for a lot of people, which definitely happened to me just over 10 years ago, probably longer actually, is you start thinking about your commitment to giving back and making a difference through philanthropy and charitable work.
Yeah.
Because you know, your marginal gain in sort of excitement and enjoyment from the business. So every time you know, when I bought my first cam and I built my second cam, the excitement I had from that and the amount of effort it took is different to now when I build my next care home. You know, the excitement of opening my next care home is different. When I opened my first care home, it was huge. It was a massive, massive effort. And therefore, you need to start looking at how you're going to get your satisfaction and fulfillment in other ways, because your business isn't going to continue to give you all of that satisfaction.
Yeah.
And then you've got to start looking at healthy ways of getting that next level of excitement and satisfaction. Often people go down the wrong path. And so for me, philanthropy was another area of really getting that fulfillment and making a difference as well.
That's fantastic. And you've led me really nicely into my next, and I'm going to prompt you here with my next set of questions that I have for you. We are talking to Avnish Goyal, who is an entrepreneur, businessman, and a successful one at that. And later on, he's also going to be telling us about his new book that he's going to be publishing soon as well. So stay tuned for that.
Log on to iGlobalNews.com. iGlobal, the go-to multimedia platform for and about global Indians.
iGlobal Radio is the brand new hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. News, views, interviews, wellness, money matters, and much, much more. Tune in to iGlobal Radio at iGlobalNews.com. Avnish, I'd like to talk to you about the characteristics of entrepreneurship, and you touched on this briefly just a few short moments ago really well, and that is, and I'm going to prompt you here, the ability to take a risk, innovation if you like, also visionary and leadership qualities, being open-minded, being flexible, and also knowing your product. So taking those initiatives and prompts that I've just given you now, the characteristics of entrepreneurship, according to you, are what?
Well, I think the big one is believing in yourself. Others will doubt you. Others will question your ability. They'll question what you can achieve. They'll question even the idea itself. I think the key is believing in yourself and having the grit to execute, but also being flexible to take advice, to look at the environment and make sure that, because usually the original idea has to go through lots of iterations, and the eventual execution of that may be slightly different. It may be very different. And entrepreneurs and business people that start out have to be prepared to flex their idea, because the initial concept may not be what the market needs.
So this is where the ability to take a risk scenario comes in, starting a new venture involving considerable amounts of failure risk as well to go in with it. This is, must have been something that came across you in your mind.
In the early days, I didn't. Yeah, I mean, I had a backup that if the property business didn't work, then I'd run a shop like the rest of the family. So I had that as a backup. But I think because I didn't want to run a shop, because I'd been involved in the family businesses for since as a child.
Yeah,
I wanted to make sure that was kind of like, I'm never going to do that. And therefore, the drive to make the property business was very, very strong. And to make that work. And I think what I always looked at was, how can I be different? How can I add a little bit more value than everyone else? And the moment you start doing that, you start creating your niche market, you start differentiating yourself from everybody else. And what I found is that you can spend a little bit more, but you learn a lot more, because people want to flock to buy your product.
Indeed, and this is where the visionary and leadership qualities of what you do actually come in. But what about being open-minded about things, Avnish? If I could ask you, in a business, every circumstance can be an opportunity and used for the benefit of a company. So in terms of being open-minded, how open-minded were you when you were setting up your business to be an entrepreneur?
You have to listen to the information that's coming at you. Mm. My original business plan was I was going to be buying flats and houses and renting them to professionals. And I found out that where I was buying those properties, the professionals didn't want to live, because I was buying at that point the cheaper properties. And so again, I had to, it took me a little while, a few months, when I realized the error of my ways in terms of this business model is not going to work, and I had to adapt it. And I had to eat a bit of humble pie and get my head around the fact that I had to change it. And I think that's the key, is that you've got to keep adapting that. And I think the biggest thing for me is you've got to add value. You've got to add a lot of value to the proposition, your customers. So that's been the modus operandi for 30 years now.
And I understand that perfectly, because what you've just displayed and explained to us is flexibility. And an entrepreneur should be flexible and open to change according to the situation, which is exactly what you did. And that's incredible. We're talking to Avnish Goyal, who is an entrepreneur, and talking about business and being an entrepreneur, how to become an entrepreneur.
iGlobal is one-of-a-kind multimedia platform for all things global Indian, from the latest community news to the big political interviews, from entertainment and fashion to personal wealth and wellness. iGlobal is where the vibrant Indian diaspora gets seen and heard. Log on at iglobalnews.com.
So the importance of entrepreneurship, Avnish, if I could ask you, creation of employment, innovation, impact on society and community development, and through your philanthropy that you've developed as well, increased standards of living, and so also supporting research and development through your care homes. All of these things you must have encountered at some point or another. So let's talk about the importance of entrepreneurship right now.
Yeah, I mean, entrepreneurship is all about how products and services come to the market to meet needs. And sometimes, unmet needs, and sometimes needs that we don't even know that we need. I mean, you look at the iPad. No one knew they needed an iPad until Apple and Steve Jobs brought out the iPad, because we had phones and we had laptops. And, he said, right, I tell you what, we need tablets now. and then suddenly we all need tablets. So entrepreneurship, I think, is really, really important. And where we've got environments and, you know, taxation, subsidies and so on that allow entrepreneurs to flourish, that then really helps us to create a better society, because we then develop products and services that help us to have a higher and better quality of life.
There are certain traits that entrepreneurs have: passion, risk-taking ability, persisting nature, innovative, leading from the front, and ethical in nature. All right, I'll give you those. So as far as traits are concerned of being an entrepreneur and successful as you are, Avnish, tell us about some of the traits that are required to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think all of those traits are very, very useful, and I can identify myself in some shape or form in each of those. And stubbornness, I think, you know, you've got to be stubborn sometimes.
Yes. Okay.
Not too stubborn, but stubborn enough. And it gets on people's nerves, quite honestly. But when I've got an idea, I push hard. And generally, I found that most of the ideas that I had, not all of them, I couldn't ever say that, but a lot of the ideas born through. And it took a lot sometimes to get them through, because people couldn't always see my vision, couldn't always see the what I was trying to get at. And some of it will be maybe I could do better at helping to translate that vision. Because sometimes what entrepreneurs do, they can see it really clearly.
But nobody else can. Yeah.
And they're not always that good at helping others to see it. And others can't always see it. And sometimes an entrepreneur, it's kind of like, just trust me, just watch, I'll show you. And people, you know, not everybody is willing to go along with you on that ride.
So therefore, you need to have a passion for what you do. And that's what you're telling us today. You need to have a passion for it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, because the thing is, when you get out of bed in the morning, unless you're passionate, you know, how are you going to motivate yourself? Because there are going to be as many down days often in the early days, especially as up days. You know, so in order to keep going, you've still got to be able to have that vision in mind. And that passion is what's going to keep you going.
As an entrepreneur, Avnish, do you need to be ethical in nature?
From my perspective, I think integrity and being ethical is not my number one value. Not everyone is, unfortunately. And you know, you pick up the prep papers and you look in the media, you'll see lots of evidence of that. It's not always true what you read, though. But if you want to create a long-term sustainable business, you want to have a family that, because, you know, what you also got to think about is the next generation, is that we all want our kids to be ethical, right? We want them to have integrity, I hope. The only way that they're going to have that is if we lead first, and we're great role models. So for me, is that my business and my expression of that in the business has to be ethical. Otherwise, what am I teaching my kids?
Thank you for listening to iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. Find out more on iGlobalNews.com.
Avnish Goyal, you are an entrepreneur and successful businessman, being through the ups and downs of life and also creating visionary futures for people in the future as well. Now, people want to find out more about being excellent in what they do, being an entrepreneur, being successful in business. Is there a resource or a place where they can go to get more information?
Yeah, absolutely there is. Well, there will be. I'm writing my book at the moment, and it should be out hopefully early next year now. What I'm talking about is the difference between self-worth and net worth, because often when we look at you know, when people ask the question about what are you worth, we always go to money.
Yeah,
because that's how society benchmarks success. And often, and I know lots of very successful people in terms of net worth success that don't have a high level of self-worth.
Yeah,
and I know people with high levels of self-worth that are not necessarily financially abundant, and therefore the key is, how can you have both? How can you drive your financial success and your intrinsic self-worth up at the similar levels? You know, and that's why you see film stars, pop stars, footballers and so on, who get quick, instant success financially, but their self-worth doesn't keep up. You look at Michael Jackson and Amy Winehouse and many, many others, because inside, who they felt was very different to the trappings and the trimmings they had. They had the big houses and, you know,
indeed,
all the material wealth,
well,
inside
said,
still lacking. So for me, I'm, you know, my book is all about how can we drive and deliver the, and also focus on how to get that self-worth as much as the net worth, because unfortunately, society and, you know, even our parents often drive us to the education, to go to university, to get a great job. And, you know, we put 40, 50, 60 hours of effort into work, into wealth creation. Hmm. But how much effort do we actually put into looking internally and driving and creating internal net worth or self-worth?
iGlobal Radio, the hub of podcasts for and about global Indians. From news and views to wellness, entertainment, money matters, and much, much more. On air at iglobalnews.com.